brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello, and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Yes, we are. Fact.
204.
Yeah, 204, not so much.
No, 204, we nosedive.
We're done by 204.
Yeah, we got a good 2 minutes in us, and then everything goes all
ahead. Hey, all good things happen in 2 minutes or less.
Fortunately, we're after the Bachelorette, so we don't have to compete against them.
Well, thank God for that. So, well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
Pleasure to be here today.
Made Man Maury.
Bob, I am thrilled to be here.
And good old boy Jesse.
Good morning.
And our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything you can drink. And today is a whiskey episode, and here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. From Whistle Pig, we have their Farm Stock Bourbon Beyond Bonded. We have the Whistle Pig Farm Stock Rye Beyond Bonded. We have the Whistle Pig Road Stock Rye. From Brothers of the Leaf, we have their inaugural release of their straight bourbon whiskey finished in toasted oak casks. And also from Brothers of the Leaf, the straight rye whiskey finished in toasted white oak casks. We have Larceny Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon, release A-122. Elijah Craig Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon, release A-122. And the Old Fitzgerald Bottled in Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon, spring 2022 release. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings. So take it away.
One, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
That is the saddest Porky Pig I've ever heard in my life.
Wow. Well, you told me it was supposed to be Porky Pig.
Two sips, nice, but what else do you have?
Wow, it just
isn't happy hour any
time. Yeah, it's just not. Yeah, it's not this time.
Well, isn't that nice? Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
Sounds like a really bad teletype machine.
Five sips. Oh my, I wasn't aware anything could be this good.
Oh my,
that's all,
goodness.
Folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, that was just...
Well, we lost half our listeners.
Yeah, that's... I'm horrified.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, I just...
I'm speechless. I even gave those ratings, and it's pretty sad.
But that's all, bro.
Yeah, no, just... Oh, dear Lord. Thank God. Let's move on. Okay, for the one guy in Saskatchewan who's still listening to us, let's move on to our first whiskey.
Dear God. Our first whiskey is the Whistle Pig Farmstock Bourbon Beyond Bonded, 50.05% ABV or 100.1 proof.
Wow. Thank you for that extra tenth.
I know that. Well, you know, the Whistle Pig Farmstock
Brent needs
is
as much ethanol as he can get. So.
Well, it is beyond bonded.
It's 100% farm to bottle whiskey from the Whistle Pig Farm. So this is their first real stock of all that's just their own product. The ingredients are grown, harvested, distilled, aged, and bottled by hand at the Whistle Pig Farm and Distillery in Shoreham, Vermont. This whiskey is both bottled in bond and single barrel, and it's bottled at 100.1 proof, just beyond the bonded standard. So I don't know. I think they're kind of bending the rules here because it's not really both bottled and bond because it's over 100 proof.
Yeah, so, it can't be bonded.
You know, so it's kind of...
It's not really bonded. It's just a play on words. It's above the bonded proof.
Right, exactly.
So, I guess beyond bonded is not bonded.
Right.
It's not been certified or bonded.
But then they can't say that it's both bottled and bonded single barrel. I don't know. It's weird. So, but okay. The mash bill is 51% Den corn and 49% Remington and Rifle Rye. The varieties are harvested from the North Orwell 1 and the North Orwell 2 fields. I guess they've named all their fields up there in Vermont. So it's distilled on Whistle Pig's original hybrid still, Mortimer, proofed with water from Whistle Pig's farm, and aged for 4 years in number char Vermont Estate oak barrels,
number which were four. Produced.
What's that?
You said number char, number four.
You oh, number four, char. Right? Oh, yeah. Number four char, yeah.
Minor
and they,
detail.
And the barrels were produced in the local Vermont, it's local Vermont oak. So our barrel was aged for 4 years, 8 months, and 14 days.
Are you sure it wasn't 15 days?
Nope, that's 14 days, and I have it here. So, okay. And if it was bonded, they would know how many days it was in.
But it wasn't bonded. It was beyond bonded.
Beyond bonded. Mm-hmm. That's going to baffle me for
it can only time. Be bonded if it's exactly 100 proof.
Right. Yeah. So they can't have it both ways. The color, this one's got a nice copper penny color to it. It's actually darker than I would have thought for being 4 years, 8 months, 14 days. But I mean, it's, and at a barrel at 100
that was
proof.
Why I thought it was 15 days, because it's just the color.
Yeah, just a little color. A little
yeah, yeah, usually in that 15th day, it goes about four shades darker.
On the nose, the predominant thing on the nose was the corn. I just pick up the corn. I haven't got any of the rye notes to it.
I have to disagree. I thought the predominant thing on the nose was alcohol. I just found a very highly high ethanol sort of dominating.
Yeah, kind of that corn kind of burns off after a while, but it's, and you get some of that, you'll just get the ethanol notes.
Nostril burning ethanol.
After the ethanol, I got saran wrap. Well, when you open that new container.
No, yeah. So on the palate, let me taste this again.
Was it Saran brand Saran wrap, or
yes,
the store?
The branded Saran wrap.
Okay. Generic wrap. Saran wrap, because
generic for you?
Generic.
Oh, branded for me. So
yeah.
Reasonable minds can differ.
The generic has a little bit more of a sweeter character like this. The branded, you know, a little more bitter.
Okay. Well, on the palate, it's corn. It's mostly corn on the palate as well. And I don't get the rye notes. It's just like, you know, if it's supposed to be 49% rye, I think I would just feel it hasn't, you know, kind of melded together like it should yet. I think it needs a little bit more time. It doesn't have, it's got its own character, but it's not a character that I'm wanting to drink all the time.
Well, I agree. The corn is young, and the corn is distinct and not integrated well with the rye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They haven't coagulated together enough.
I think that's an excellent $20 word, and that's exactly the word I was thinking. They have not yet coagulated.
But it's a short finish, but the one thing I get on the finish is a little bit of a barrel char, which is kind of surprising to me. But other than that, it's their first bourbon. And so with the first bourbons, everybody's first bourbon, usually you know, you're not expecting, a lot from it, you know, because they haven't been doing bourbon yet. So
I was wondering if they had been aging it in like barrels that previously held tobacco leaves, because for me, I got an overwhelming tobacco flavor note of it on the palate, especially right out of the bottle. It was just tobacco leaf. Not to say that that's bad. It just was really heavy handed.
Yeah,
Justin, what'd you think? That's tobacco notes definitely in there, and
yeah, that's coming out.
You get the bourbon first,
yeah,
and then it ends on rye. It's kind of strange, but it's not bad. It's just odd. And the finish was shorter than I thought it would be for a Beyond Bonded product.
It was beyond short.
Beyond short.
Well, I definitely can. I don't taste the rye as much as I smell the rye. That young putty kind of nose that I get with a rye, I can smell that. It's hard to pull that out because it's kind of similar to a creamy corn. So they, you know, when you've got a young rye and you smell that, you know you've got a young rye. The corn is kind of masking it, but it's there. And I'm with you. The first thing I got on it is I got barrel char, which was I thought unusual that it, you know, being, you know, under 5 years old, that I'm getting that much char off of it, and it's only a number four. But I get some, it's got a creamy nose. I'm definitely getting some vanilla on it and some caramel. I get that barrel char.
Yeah,
you know, medium short finish.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, overall, a nice effort, you know, from somebody who, you know, really doesn't do bourbon, you know. I mean, they're branching out, so.
Yes, they're branching out, and they have to start someplace. So, yeah. You know, so I'm a couple years, I'll be, I'd like to taste this again.
God willing, you'll still be here in a couple of years, and we can taste it again. You never know.
You never know. My intestines could explode.
Yeah, well, that only happens to degenerates and alcoholics. So, yeah, I'm just saying. So
I have twice as much of a chance.
Yeah. I'm trying to lead from the front here. You know, so. So we're going to be rating the Whistlepig Farm Stock Bourbon Beyond Bonded. Two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So let's move on to our next one, and we'll have Justin tell us about that one.
Our next whiskey is Whistlepig Farmstock Rye Beyond Bonded. It's 50.05% alcohol by volume, or 100.1 proof.
That's like deja vu. I think I've heard that somewhere before.
Whistlepig's Farmstock Beyond Bonded Rye is a straight rye whiskey crafted from 100% Remington rye, harvested from North Orwell 1, field of Whistlepig's 500-acre farm, distilled on Whistlepig's original hybrid still, Mortimer, proofed with water from Whistlepig's farm well, aged upwards for 4 years in number four char, Vermont Estate Oak barrels, which were produced from local Vermont oak. Our barrels aged 4 years, 8 months, and 14 days, and we'll talk about it after the break.
You got it in.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and Justin was just getting ready to start telling us about the second whiskey that we've got from the folks at Whistlepig. So
the color I got is like a light copper, and the nose reminded me of that smell you get when you open the closet for winter for the first time. It's kind of like musty, and there was some heat on the nose, but that's faded off after it's been out for a while.
I agree with you. The high alcohol heat is blown off.
Yeah, and then there's a charcoal hit on the nose. And on the palate, I got maple syrup and a rye hit. And the finish was weird. It's all back palate. And mostly rye. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, everything is on the back palate. There's nothing mid palate or front palate. It all just goes. It jumps right to the back. You can't prevent that at all, whether you want to or not. And some the typical rye notes. You get that baking spice. Just a little bit of hint of vanilla in there. And that a little bit of that ethanol on there as well. But the biggest thing is that, yeah, another short finish, and it's all back palate. Maury?
You know, I agree with both of you completely. I was hoping for a little bit more. I think this is slightly better than the previous version, the bourbon. but nonetheless, young, needs more time. It's going the right direction. But again, the front and mid palate's kind of missing.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is all off their own farm now. So that's that's what they've been wanting to do this entire time, is get to their own farm stuff, you know, after sourcing for so many years. I know they've blended half and half before, you know, or the piggyback, they blended some of this stuff. And
well, it's gonna take time.
Yes.
You know, you're not gonna come out with a five right off the bat. Nobody does that. You know, I mean, everybody that's turning out, you know, the top quality stuff have been doing it forever. You know, I mean,
that's
how they got there. So I look at it as, hey, you guys are literally just starting to do 100% your own stuff, and this is what you're turning out. It's pretty damn good, you know, considering this is, you know, really the beginning of turning it over to your own still. So, but yeah, I agree with you guys. It's, you know, you get a little bit of it in the front palate as it rolls down the tongue, but then it all goes back palate.
And it's such a short finish. I mean, it's just gone. It just, there's nothing that lingers on.
It's got a great nose though.
I think if you buy this, open it, try a little, and then leave most of it for 3 or 4 months, let the oxidization hit, it might be even better.
Did he just say oxidation?
That's a new word. I invent them. I invent them all the time, so.
I am very aroused.
It's the biggest word he's ever used. Like, oh my God. I mean, what does Jaden Plimpton say about
that? What is your favorite word?
Oxidation.
it's like he tried to bring Porky Pig into the conversation.
we need to leave Porky Pig out of the conversation.
let's just drop Porky Pig here and leave him to his own devices, please. I mean, I don't think any of us are getting rid of the shame of that one. So, all right, so we're going to be giving the Whistle Pig Roadstock Rye 2 sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
I think I may need to correct you. I believe that was the Farmstock Rye Beyond Bonded.
Oh, Farmstock Rye. Sorry, we haven't gotten to the next one yet.
We are getting ready to talk about the Whistle Pig Roadstock Rye,
yep.
Which is our next offering. It comes in at 43% ABV or 86 proof for those of you like Justin who are mathematically challenged.
Cool bottle.
I know a third of it, though.
It is a beautiful bottle. The Whistle Pig Roadstock Rye began its life in a No. 3 char oak barrel at Whistle Pig Farm in Shoreham, Vermont. Whistle Pig then commissioned an 18-wheeler rolling rickhouse, quote unquote, which would make its way on a 6,000-mile barrel finishing journey. Upon completion of the Roadstock rolling rickhouse, half of the future Roadstock whiskey was transferred into Bordeaux blend casks from Jordan Winery in Sonoma's Alexander Valley. After driving along the historic Route 66, the Roadstock rolling rickhouse headed north to Firestone Walker Brewing Company in Paso Robles, California. At Firestone Walker, the other half of the whiskey was transferred into Firestone's Imperial Stout, Imperial Blonde Ale, and Experimental Ale barrels to finish on the long journey back to Vermont. After several weeks of over 6,000 miles on the road, the Roadstock Rolling Rickhouse arrived back at Whistle Pig Farm, where the distillery team married these unique finishes and bottled them with custom rubber tire stopper to commemorate the trip.
It is a neat topper on there. It looks like a tire on it, you know?
Yeah, it sure does. It's a really neat topper. The packaging is neat. I love the checkered flags on the label. Conceptually, it's like a Jefferson's Ocean, only on the road, an 18-wheeler instead of a boat.
You know, this is the whole evolution of bourbon, how, you know, it started off from Louisville on boats down to New Orleans, and then Jefferson took it on journeys out into the ocean, and now we're taking it across the
States,
across the highways.
Route 66. It's a scenic tour.
It is a scenic tour. I've been on part of it, not all of it. But.
Yes. So this whiskey has a similar nice light copper color. The nose is interesting. I don't know if it's the power of suggestion and it's just a little placebo effect, but I definitely get some road noise from it. I get rubber, just a hint of diesel, just a little bit of hint of gravel from the road. It's just an interesting nose, if nothing else. Now for the palate. The palate is really a surprise. it's almost absent. I thought I might have had COVID. I'm not tasting anything. It just comes, it goes. You get a hint of burn at the end. You get a really short finish, and it's just gone.
It's opened up a little bit longer to this. Just a little.
But generally speaking, right out of the bottle, this thing was just the invisible bourbon.
I'm expecting to have that Imperial Blonde Ale. I'm expecting to have that have an influence with it. I'm expecting the
winery. Well, there's a lot going on, and that's the thing.
All the different things that they married it with, and you have next to nothing that comes out from it.
Right. No identifiable elements really on the palate, which is really unusual. It's almost like they canceled everything out. They added a lot of things. Remember, they've added several different barrel finishes. Then they've added the truck and the road and Route 66.
They could have called this Casper.
Yeah.
I do. I get a bit of the wine if I smell it, but don't get in the glass. Just get outside of the glass and just... I get a little bit of the grapiness on the nose. It doesn't really come through on the palate, but I definitely can get just a hint on that.
Honestly, it'd be a nice intro whiskey for somebody who's transitioning from, say, a white spirit such as vodka into whiskey. This is the equivalent of what I would call like a platinum tequila or an ultra 100 times distilled vodka.
Click.
It doesn't have that burn that turns some people off. You know, that hug, that Kentucky hug,
it's
Vermont hug.
Brown spirits without really a lot of bite.
Yes, that is true.
And it'll sneak up. I mean, the proof is nothing to sneeze at. It's 86 proof.
Yeah.
Justin, what'd you think?
You nailed it on the head when you said that all the finishes cancel each other out. So they're on the nose. I get the Bordeaux hit. I get the Imperial Blonde Ale only on the nose. On the palate, I get almost nothing but faint whisper on the back palate of I don't even know what. That's how faint it is.
It's very faint. I mean, if you left any one of these other ones in a glass of ice and let it go down, you'd still have more flavor in those than you would have you would have more flavor than if you did than just drinking this one straight. I think if you would put this in ice, you would completely drown it out.
No, I think it'd be gone. I think you'd be drinking ice water.
Right. You'd be drowned it out.
Yeah.
You know, so Bob, what do you...
I don't know. It's one of those ones that I wonder what it's... We'll set this one aside and come back to it in a couple of months and see if the oxygen's opened it up.
I love the concept, though. Let's take this on the road. Let's take it on a historic journey.
Yeah.
You know,
let's
do these things.
You've got boat-carried whiskey. Now you've got truck-carried whiskey. And I think this is probably the appropriate time to tell you guys that I've opened up my own whiskey company, and we're going to be taking little 5-gallon kegs on Segways and riding around in the mall. And we're going to do it every day. I've got a bunch of retirees that are going to drive that stuff in a circle around the giant outlet mall. And at the end of the year, then we're going to mix it with some Ensure, and we're going to sell it to the senior community.
I thought you were going to strap it to Harmeet's back and make him walk it around the mall.
I can't get him to walk anywhere, please.
Oh,
I think they're going to really burn it on the way to Early Bird. It's going to go fast.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Waiting for the buffet. So.
Right.
So, all right. Well, we are going to be rating the Whistle Pig Roadstock Rye 2-6.
Well, isn't that nice?
So let's move on to our next whiskey. So the next whiskey is the two that we've got from a company called Broadleaf Whiskey. Broadleaf is a new whiskey company based out of Louisville, founded by Brian Gelfo, a whiskey educator and member of the Bourbon Mafia, and J. Paul Tucker, the owner of the Oxmoor Smoke Shop in Louisville, also a member of the Bourbon Mafia. Their new brand is called Brothers of the Leaf, named after a term to describe the bond between fellow cigar lovers and their passion for cigar culture. Their first two expressions are Brothers of the Leaf, straight bourbon whiskey finished in toasted French oak cask, and Brothers of the Leaf rye whiskey finished in toasted white oak cask. Starting with whiskey sourced from Ross and Squibb Distillery, formerly known as MGP, the whiskeys are then finished in custom barrels made for Broadleaf by Kelvin Cooperage in Louisville. Great, great Cooperage. Old school, too.
Oh, yes.
I love going there. It's just, you know, It's dudes swinging hammers and, you know, real fire, and it's just awesome. And their barrels are absolutely beautiful, the finish on them. They look like wine barrels. They don't look like whiskey barrels. So we're going to go and try the first one, which is the Brothers of the Leaf straight bourbon whiskey finished in toasted French oak casks. This is batch number one. It's 57.7% ABV, 115.4 proof, no age statement. The color on it, it's got a nice copper penny color to it, a little bit of darkness toward the edge. On the nose, still, even sitting here for the last hour, the first thing I get on it's French toast. I mean, it's that toasted French oak barrel really, really comes through. It's French toast covered in real maple syrup, not that stuff you get at the grocery store. Sweetness. Just a slight bit of char on the nose and on the palate. Hold on. Again, you taste that barrel toast, just that little bit of astringency from the char. It's dark, dark burnt toffee, dark brown sugar, a little bit of vanilla toward the back. The finish on it, medium to long, it hangs in there, especially considering, and I'm sure this is a younger whiskey that they're getting. Well done.
Yeah, non-age stated, but I don't think this is young. You know, I don't think this is young at all. I mean, I don't know how long they aged it in their own casks.
Yeah,
I think it was 18 months. I think is what he told me.
Yeah, when I say young, man, I'm talking, you know, it's not 10 years.
So, oh, No, it's not that. But young, when somebody says young to me, I'm thinking 2, 3, 4 years. Well, yeah. And it's, I don't think it's that.
Minimum of 2 years if it's straight bourbon whiskey. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the, cool. What I got on the nose, I got a waffle note, which is what you guys got, a French toast note, which is the same.
Well, we're fancy.
Yes, I'm not fancy. I have a waffle.
I like Waffle House, but Justin makes me go where they have the French toast because he's all, you know, smarmy and everything. So
pinkies up, people. Yeah. Pinkies up
and things. But you know, for the first time expression of this, I'm impressed with what they've been able to do. And I don't want to be biased because I'm friends with Brian and stuff. You know, so.
Full disclosure.
Yes, again, yes.
Both of these gentlemen are also members of the Mafia, and three of us at the table are, so they're friends of ours. But aside, we're honest and we're going to tell the truth. So
right, I don't want to be biased with it and stuff, but I'm enjoying it. I mean,
oh yeah,
I'm very much enjoying this.
I think that the thing that's really helped it is time and air. Honestly, I was a little underwhelmed when it came right out of the bottle, but with time, it's really opened up beautifully. The oxygen in the air has done it well.
Well,
and it's much more enjoyable now, 30 minutes in.
So we had a sample bottle of this before, a couple weeks ago, that we had tried.
Not as good.
And it just, and different. It was like, wait a minute, what happened here? You know, like, yeah. this wasn't the same. And then we opened up these sample bottles, and it's like, wow, this is a night and day difference. So I don't know if they had something sourced from, you know, if it came, how it came out, these sample bottles came out. But it just seemed kind of unusual that from one, we tried it one day, and we tried another day, and it's something totally different.
So. Maybe they forgot to wash the bottle.
It does speak to the nice thing about a retail fully packaged bottle. You know you're getting everything that the consumer's getting, and you always have to be concerned when you get a sample that there's some sampling bias and some sampling error, whether that's intentional or unintentional.
Mm. Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we've had some samples that came in that, I mean, we did. I remember one show in particular with a pretty large Kentucky distillery that we did. And they came in these really neat looking test tube sample bottles.
Yeah.
And we ended up tanking that show and re-recording that show a couple of weeks later because they were all spoiled. Every single one of them. Every single one of them tasted like mold. And it was bad closures on those. And it was whiskey that we had all had before, so we knew what it was supposed to taste like. So, yeah, you have to be careful with samples. But, you know, all the ones that I've had of this as they were developing it tasted just like this. You know, extremely well done. Not like we always say, you're filling the holes in the Swiss cheese. You're not trying to cover the whiskey. You're just trying to elevate the whiskey with a barrel finish.
I like the holes in the Swiss cheese. I like those holes.
Well, they're the lowest.
Get the most flavor out of the
hole.
They're
the lowest calorie part too as well. So, yeah. Here, I've got a whole box full of the holes for you right here. Let me hand it to you. There you go. So,
donut holes, my favorite.
Yeah. Well, those are the different ones. Those are just as high in calorie as the donut itself. So,
now don't tell me that.
Yeah. You want me to lie to you?
Next thing you're going to tell me is they'll knock my sugar up. And I don't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about your sugar. Your sugar's fine. And trust me on that one. You're all right. You know. What'd you think, Justin?
So, everything you guys got, I got. But I did get a hit of cinnamon on the back end. That's really all I have to add to it. It's a good effort.
Sprinkle of cinnamon on my French toast at the end anyway.
Yeah.
So, thank you for noticing.
You're welcome.
And there's Justin being wordy as always. So we're going to be rating the Broadleaf, the Brothers of the Leaf Straight Bourbon Whiskey, finished in toasted French oak cask, batch number one. Well done. Three sips.
Interesting.
Set of play on words, toasted French oak, French toast.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. We were influenced by those words alone.
Yeah. It's going to be a very small release, this, because it's their first, but if you see it, you know, when it comes out, it's not out yet at the time of recording, but if you see it, grab it. So we're going to go on to our next whiskey. I'm going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Brothers of the Leaf Rye Whiskey, finished in toasted white oak casks, batch number one. It comes in at 59.6% ABV or 119.2 proof with a non-age statement. The color on this whiskey is fairly similar. Again, light to medium copper. The nose is fairly similar. Again, you get a little bit of French toast, a little bit of brown sugar, and then the palate, super nice. Again, it's benefited from air. I think it's really opened up quite a bit. I'm getting all kinds of notes of toffee and spice and some baking spice with a medium finish. I think this is a beautiful whiskey. In fact, right out of the bottle, it was, in my opinion, a little bit better than their bourbon. But now with time and air, as both have sat in the glass, I think they're both very enjoyable, very well made, and are continuing to evolve. And we'll be back.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation, riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and Maury was just telling us about the Brothers of the Leaf Straight Rye Whiskey, finished in toasted white oak cask, batch number one.
Thank you, Bob. Again, I think this is a lovely whiskey. I think it's got lots of layers of complexity. It's going the right direction. It's a little bit young, but I think tastes mature beyond its years. I'm guessing this is maybe a two-year-old. But again, it's drinking lovely for a two-year-old. The finish, I like it. A little bit longer than the bourbon. Goes on for about several minutes there. I thought it was a relatively long finish and surprised me.
Oh, what do you think? I love this one. I mean, this that toasted barrel makes a whole difference. You know, they aged it in a toasted barrel, not a charred barrel. And I think that the toasting of that really kind of, while it peaks the rye a little bit, it also softens the rye. And I thought the finish was long on this one. I thought was much longer than the bourbon.
Yeah, exactly what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, is all those notes that you get in the rye and are just kind of, they're just kind of soft, you know, they're just kind of softened. And then at the same time, they're kind of amped up a little bit. I enjoyed this one. I mean, I was kind of impressed with it when I tried it before. And then I got de-impressed with it when we sampled it a few weeks ago.
And now you're re-impressed.
And now I'm re-impressed. So.
Makes life interesting.
It does make life interesting, you know, so.
Justin, what do you think?
So on the nose, I got envelope glue. And
I was waiting for something completely out there. Thank you for not disappointing me.
It's good.
Envelope glue.
Envelope glue.
Right.
You know, like right. When you're doing the envelope, you get that.
Yeah, all your envelopes.
You weren't even born with the sense God gave the common dog.
And then, all your envelopes have those pull strips, so you just close
them.
Oh,
yeah. Fancy envelope. No, this is old school.
Yeah,
90s.
He gets very confused when he tries to lick the FedEx envelope and his tongue sticks to it.
Yeah. Also toasted rye, and on the palate I got a big rye hit, and the mouthfeel was exceptional on this one.
It did have a nice viscosity, didn't
it? Yeah, it had a very nice viscosity.
I thought it was really cool.
So it starts out oily, perfect though, and then ends dry, which is interesting, and it also had a stable intensity of flavor on the palate all the way through, which...
That's another $10 word. Stable intensity.
And it's got a...
Wow. I don't even know what your name is, bud.
What the hell are you talking about?
And it's got a good long finish, too. This really excites me. I really like this.
It definitely
this.
Has the longest finish of most things we've tasted today.
I am very aroused.
And I've got a couple of bottles on my shelf, and this isn't like any of them, and it's a welcome addition if I had a bottle, but the sample's great.
Oh, you ain't getting
one. The bottle.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Not after envelope glue, no.
Envelope glue.
Bobby Joe, what can you add to the envelope glue discussion?
Nothing, really. I mean, honestly, everything's been said. I mean, it's extremely well done. I think they elevated the base whiskey they were working with significantly. I think they did not overdo it, which is the skill. Anybody can throw something into a finishing barrel, whether it's a toasted barrel, a charred barrel, a new barrel, a used barrel, a wine barrel.
Well, that's what has to do it. That's what has to set them apart from MGP.
But knowing when to take it out is the key. And I think they've done an amazing job, and I'm excited to see, you know, where they go with the brand from this. So
yeah.
That being said, we're going to be giving the Brothers of the Leaf straight rye whiskey finished in toasted white oak cask a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So moving on to our next whiskey, we're going to have Justin tell us about that.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Larceny Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's 62.2 alcohol by volume or 124.4 proof. Larceny Barrel Proof A122 is the first release of Larceny Barrel Proof for 2022. Following the standard Heaven Hill coating procedure, the first letter of the batch number indicates which of that year's releases the bottle was a part of, starting with A, while the second digit is a number that determines the month the year was the bottle was released. This release consists of barrels aged between 6 and 8 years and is non-chill filtered. Mash bill is 68% corn, 20% wheat, and 12% malted barley. On the nose, I got spicy corn notes, vanilla, and oak. On the palate, it was sweet, vanilla, caramel, nice mouthfeel, and the finish is hot, long, and ends dry.
Like a Florida summer.
Yeah. You could drink this all day. What'd you think, Bob?
I think this is one of the best Larceny Barrel Proofs that we've had. And we've done all three releases of each year that they've released them. It's got a funk to the nose like an old dusty whiskey has. You know, you can smell the rickhouse in this one. So the nose alone is, you know, vastly better than, and I mean, not anything against the others. The others were fine whiskeys, but this particular batch, that nose is just fantastic. And on the palate, again, it's got an amazing mouthfeel to it. It coats the tongue, coats the roof of the mouth. That musty rickhouse comes through in the palate. It's got a really nice finish to it, and the finish goes on. you know, again, I think, well done. I think this is the best one they've done so far. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, this is not only the best one I think that they've done, it's my favorite of all the 8 expressions that we have here today. And you know, we've had all the others and stuff. This one, that musty note, that it reminds me of an old 70s decanter, but barrel proof.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you get a good one, when you get one of the good ones, then it's part of that. And it really comes through. I'm thoroughly enjoying this one.
You stole my thunder. You stole every word.
Okay.
Did you plagiarize?
I plagiarized.
God damn.
We can't look at each other's notes, children.
Okay.
You know, I really can't add very much. I mean, I agree. It's the best thing on the table.
Well, the fat man made a funny.
Thank you, Brent, for making it funny.
I thought he was talking about Justin.
Talking about all three of you.
I resemble that remark. Go ahead.
This is a fantastic whiskey. I mean, I think I could sum it up in 2 words. Buy it.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, no, just avoid this one. Leave it on the shelf and
it's terrible. If you see it, walk away. Report it to
me.
info@sipsandsmokes.com.
I mean, honestly, it's their best expression of the barrel proof, bar none. It's really, compared to everything we've had today, it's fantastic. It's just got the whole package. Can't say enough good about it. And I must admit, I was a Larceny fan, but not, you know, over the top, not a groupie, but this is fantastic.
All right. Well, we're going to be rating the Larceny Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey A122, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to move on to our next one and have Brent tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Next one is the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey A122, 60.4% ABV or 120.8 proof. Like each batch, this Elijah Craig Barrel Proof is an uncut small batch of 12-year-old bourbon bottled straight from the barrel, released 3 times per year. The quality from batch to batch is a true testament to the attention to detail and craftsmanship at Heaven Hill Distillery. The mash bill is 78% corn, 12% malted barley, 10% rye. And this is a staple product. This is something that it's very consistent batch to batch, year to year. It's got all the notes that you love, the pepper that's been amped up, the clove that's been amped up, the vanilla that's been amped up. This got a great mouthfeel to it. The viscosity is nice. The finish is long. There's a little bit of cherries on the back end of the palate. And, you know, and I'm enjoying this. It's just, I love this expression. You know, I don't love it as much as I'd love the Larceny. You know, but I like this one.
I really thought that it's delicious, but I agree with you. The Larceny eclipses it just slightly. But, you know, remember, this is a 12-year-old. The Larceny was about a 6 to 8. This one, the proof's down a little bit at 120, but they're fairly similar. But I would agree with you. The extra couple of years in the barrel didn't really help it. It didn't really hurt it. I would say it's delicious. But you're right. The Larceny just edged it out a little bit. Justin?
If you're a big fan of the regular Elijah Craig on the shelf, this is Elijah Craig squared. You know, each of the Heaven Hill products have their own kind of unique flavor composition. And this one is true to Elijah Craig.
That was like a 14-letter word he used. Composition.
I know. I'm afraid.
Holy shit.
So I say, if you're a fan of Elijah Craig, get the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. Even if you feel you need to add water or ice or something like that, which I don't do, but do it.
Well, you can adjust it. And that's the beautiful part about barrel proof.
You got choices.
If it's a little hot, you can definitely adjust it down with a little ice or a little water to just the right level. And it's fantastic.
This is an example, a prime example of why this is such a great bottle. Because it's everyone we've ever had has been great.
And for the price.
Some have been greater than others, but every one of them has been great.
You cannot beat it for the price.
It's still one that you can occasionally find on the shelf, you know, because they do produce it in, you know,
more than occasionally. I think it's
fairly sufficient quantities. You know, it's not something that you're going to have to, you know, paint somebody's house for to, you know, get an allocation of a bottle on. And like everything from
Don't
Heaven
tell
Hill,
people that. Reasonably I need my house priced. Painted.
So right. it's a great example of a solid whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey A122. Well deserved. 4 sips.
That's classified.
And thank you to Heaven Hill for the beautiful sample.
So this is, we're going to be going to our last whiskey, which is the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon, Spring 2022 release, 50% ABV, 100 proof. And this one is a lovely 17 years old. So since 2018, every spring and fall, a new edition of the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Decanter Series is released in an ornate bottle inspired by the original 50s Old Fitzgerald Diamond Decanter. The ages of the past releases of this series have varied from between 8 to 15 years, making this 17-year-old release the oldest release so far. It's comprised of barrels from the fall of 2004, and it was bottled in the spring of 2022. It's got an absolutely beautiful, beautiful, just like oiled, burnished bronze color on the nose. It's lovely. It's floral. Brown sugar, a little bit of toffee, a little bit of caramel.
Thank
and
you,
just
Harm,
very, very, very
for the
deep.
Extra samples.
And on the palate, just so, so lovely, just so well stated. It's not a whiskey that hits you over the head. It's a 17-year-old bourbon. It's not going to whack you in the face. It's just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of flavor.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bob. I think the Beautiful. Finesse is just unbelievable. It's a lovely change coming off of the barrel proof, stepping down to 100. You're getting no heat. Just smooth, delicious layers upon layers of flavor. The finish just keeps going and going. It's creamy, it's viscous, it's just everything you want in a high-end bourbon. It's just fantastic. I think the biggest problem with this is it'll be hard to find.
Yeah, the biggest problem is I don't have two or three bottles, you know, full size sitting on the shelf, but
I'd settle for one.
Yeah, I'd take
this
one.
This is the bourbon.
Take whatever I can get.
Yeah, this is the bourbon that you're sitting in your comfortable chair and you're just sitting by yourself listening to some music or watching a fireplace and you're just sitting there and enjoying it. And you're doing nothing else because this is what you want to do. Just sit back and enjoy. It doesn't have that oomph. Big oomph that
it's
the,
not a,
that
it's the not Larceny. A stag. It's not a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, no. Like the Larceny came out with these big, bold flavors. And this is a finesse.
It's a much older whiskey, so yes. You're not going to get that boldness of flavor that you get out of a younger whiskey. And it's significantly lower in proof.
Right, right.
Initial response was just OMG.
Yeah.
Yep. Just sit back and enjoy it. I mean, you're just going to sit there and enjoy it. There's been other ones that I've had that I've enjoyed a lot more. That 11 year still impressed me quite a bit.
Yeah, but you're a kick in the teeth kind of guy. Well, this is finesse. This is just,
it is. I mean, I understand.
It's like the difference between a Burgundy and a Bordeaux.
Right.
Yeah. You know, one is the more in your face, you know, and the other one is the more subtle, more feminine, more layers, more just finesse. And that's what this is. And again, they've released, you know, anything from at this point, 8 to 17 years. And I still remember the 8. Thought the 8 was fantastic.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with an 8-year-old bourbon.
Yeah, and it was beautiful, and it was layered, and it was structured. This is just a different animal because of the age, and you have to be able to, you know, understand and taste the whiskey, you know, for what it is. You know, but a beautiful, beautiful example of, you know, the magic that Heaven Hill can do and have done for generations now. So
Justin, you got anything to add to that?
I do. This is the 1978 Fleetwood Brougham on a new paved road equivalent of whiskey. It's so smooth. You're just enjoying every mile of it. It's awesome.
And we're going to rate it a well-deserved.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yes.
I don't know. I was thinking more of the Chrysler Cordoba with Ridge Corinthian leather. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
It's always a pleasure to be here when I have a lineup like this.
Doesn't stink. Thank you, Maury.
Again, Bob, another amazing morning in the basement, but I miss Harm.
No, you don't. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much. And Porky Pig will never be coming back.
Yes, please. No more Porky Pig, please. Good Lord.
I'm just going to sit here and smell.
Well, you do that well. I mean, a bath would be in order. Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And fortunately, we haven't had to do that all day. So
it's been rather enjoyable.
I love this job.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.